Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, friends. It's Monday night, and you know what that is. It's Raising Expectations Nights. It's your show, and we're so glad that you tune in. We never miss telling you, I hope, that we thank God for you. We're glad that you tune in each week, because you are the ones that make this show hopefully life-changing in many ways for many people in many different areas. So welcome again to Raising Expectations. Everybody you know on the team here, we are believers. We're Christians. We believe that God is who he says he is, and that means we believe God's going to do what he says he's going to do, and he did. He sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to pay the price for our sins. And when he did that, he answered the two big questions people seem to ask everywhere today in the world. What's going on in my life now, and where am I going when that life's over? It's great to know that our sins are paid for, and in this life every day, God has his son living, working for us. The Lord leads us each and every day. He's got a plan for our life, and we can go to him directly. He's only a prayer away, and he walks and talks to us every day. And we know that he's with us. And also we know that when we do come to the end of this life, we know where we're going, because he opened the path. We're going to be with him and those that we love in heaven, because he opened the door for us. So it's wonderful to be a Christian, to belong to him, and it's wonderful to know that we can talk about things like we do here and realize that God always had a plan of what he's doing. So again, welcome to Raising Expectations tonight. God bless you, and I hope you have a great show with you tonight. We've got a great friend of ours with us today, and the rest of the week, you got four more days to watch God work all those things in your life. So our team, as you know, is stretched kind of across the nation. We always try to represent everybody and let them know, because people say, now, who is that again? So we try to share each week. If you go to the West Coast all the way to Lompoc, California, which is next to Santa Barbara, down the southern coast of California, you will find there Dr. Paul Hall, who is a retired pastor. He's a theologian. He is a counselor. Everybody loves Dr. Paul. We went to school together way back when Moses was running around Mount Sinai, and that's almost that old, it seems. Anyway, but it's 55 years he's been my friend, and he's a friend to countless people, and I know that he's loved by many because I'm one of them. Good to see you, Paul.
Good to see you all. Thank you.
Any rockets going up this?
Last night. Yeah, last night. It was nice.
All right. Yep. Well, you got to get a recording of that. We'll play it one night. TJ, when you come on. So he lives near the space station there, Lompoc, where they send up the, what are they called again? The
SpaceX.
SpaceX rockets. That's right. So they go up right there. So if we miss him some week, he may have gotten too close and taken a ride, but we'll find out what's going on. And that's in Lompoc, California. So as you follow Paul and I, we're going to go to the south part of the East Coast, and we're waiting on Dr. Thayer and his wife, Stephanie. They are should be checking in here anytime. They might have got tied up because we're expecting them to be here. So I expect they'll pop in here anytime now, and then we'll be able to bring them on for you. But, you know, she is a health and wellness coach. She also has a website called Live Your Life Out Loud. If you go to our website, bbsradio.com/raising expectations, you'll find each of our team on there. And here's her site, Live Your Life Out Loud. And you'll find that on our website. You can read about the folks and get an idea of what they're doing. And her website's something you want to read about, what she does in helping women across the nation. And God does wonderful things through Steph's life. And also, she married a great guy, and we always tease him and have so much fun that she did a great job working on him. And that is Dr. Craig Thayer. We call him Tank, all 6 foot five or six of him. But he has a He's a surgeon. He's a trauma surgeon, and he does missionary work also in Uganda and other places. He's helped people as a missionary doctor. He also has a book out called Saved, and it's a great book. You'll find it on our website, bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And here it is. The book is called Saved, Finding God in the Ordinary Things of Life by Dr. Craig Thayer. One trauma surgeon's true accounts of the miracles of his life. And I like that. God works in the ordinary things as well as the spectacular things at times in our life. So you want to read about Dr. Craig there and what God has done in his life. And hopefully he'll be checking in pretty soon. He's with us each and every week. And of course, right above it, you'll find my book there, version 3, Legitimate Faith, which produces authentic hope. And we know faith. The acrostic means a lot to me. Faith, F-A-I-T-H, forsaken all. I just trust him because he knows what he's doing. Our guest tonight is a doctor like that. He's told me many times God knows what he's doing, and he's always right because scripture teaches us that. So faith is something that's very important to each of us as we look to him in our lives this way. So if we make our way back from the east, the south part of the East Coast, I get that messed up, Ron, but one of these times I'll have you announce that side. But we come back all the way through Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, north side of there, and cover down into McKinney, Texas, part of Dallas. One of our favorite pastors in the state of Texas is Pastor Ron Greer. Ron's with us tonight. There he is. And we all know Ron. He's one of our favorite guys and brothers in Christ. He is with a Man in the Mirror, and he's a leadership position there teaching and helping men discover why there are things in their lives that God is working in. Everything that happens in their lives for a reason. He helps them to discover what God was doing and just how important it was because of what it means now in their lives. He does an incredible job with Man in the Mirror. So you want to look him up. You get that on our website, and you'll be able to find what Ron does during the week there with Man in the Mirror. So we're excited again to have with us tonight. Many of you have asked about it, and he's with us tonight. You all know our good friend, Dr. Robert Buckingham. He's a doctor who is, I think he's the best doctor you're going to find anywhere. Of course, I'm a little prejudiced. I want to read just a little bit quickly about him. He's in Ojai, California, which is, in fact, you got some hearts going up here on the screen as I'm looking at this doc. But you'll find as you check out his story that he's done just about everything. 46 years with a career in basic science, research, and everything that spans over half a century. And the practice of medicine in its full spectrum, from the outpatient medicine to the sickest in the intensive care unit, has shown him the repeated patterns of illness whose onset and veracity are linked to the repetitive pro-inflammatory free radicals they elicit into your central circulation. There's a copy of his book right there. This is an award-winning, worldwide known book. Simply put, for all of us who are listening tonight too, he knows an inside understanding of just how God put us together and what we should know and do with our bodies and how our body really works. He's a man of great faith. He's our friend. He's my doctor. He's been for years now. And he is in Ojai, California, Southern California, not too far from Paul there. So we want to give him the round of applause. I got it, Ron. Did you see that? Amazing. We want to welcome Doc with us. I call him Dr. Buckingham. It's good to see you, Doc, and we're glad you're with us tonight. How are you doing? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Do you want me to give you a little introduction?
Yeah, I just want to know how you're doing, and you can give us an introduction. That'd be great.
Well, tonight, I was asked to talk a little about anti-aging. And anti-aging, in essence, what we have to do when we talk about this is separate out behavior that is pro-inflammatory versus behavior that is anti-inflammatory. And it's in the Christian world, I think we can all kind of collectively agree that a lot of the sinful nature that we have is more or less a pro-inflammatory behavior. And a lot of the fruits of the Spirit that God has given us graciously and freely are anti-inflammatory behaviors. And so what I would like to do is discuss some of the repercussions of pro and anti-inflammatory behaviors as we currently understand them. So, for example, lack of hope, despair, frustration, emotional exhaustion, chronic pain, kind of, in a sense, losing your anchors in life. These can oftentimes result in behaviors that become pro-inflammatory, things such as lack of sleep, increased stress, obsessive compulsive behaviors, gambling, sexual indiscretion, drugs, alcoholism, binge eating, for example, or binge shopping. So then when you get into that category, then you start developing what I call an abundance of vascular inflammatory free radicals in your bloodstream. You increase your blood sugar. You increase your blood cortisol level. You increase lipoprotein little a and LDL cholesterol. These are all free radicals. You increase advanced glycation end products. You increase non-HDL cholesterol and triglycerides. So what happens when you cascade these is you develop such a pro-inflammatory rhythm that the end organs become chronically inflamed. And when they become chronically inflamed, you end up developing diseases within them. So chronic inflammation, which is a byproduct of these free radical encumbrances, that will lead to disease states. And I think we all know what those are: cancers, infections, autoimmune diseases, vascular inflammatory occlusions, vascular inflammatory clots, and scar tissue. So those things pop up, and they sometimes pop up with a vengeance, and we become particularly vulnerable as chronic inflammation continues to lean into our bodies and as we age. So the whole point of what I want to discuss tonight is, how do we get away from some of these pro-inflammatory behaviors, move towards more of an anti-inflammatory rhythm? And you gentlemen know as well as I do, maybe even more so, that this requires, I think, more of a spiritual awareness of the spirit of the things that are dark and the things that are of light. So I think that's kind of where it all begins: understanding where the darkness is, where that leads, and understanding where the light is and where that leads. Having a really firm understanding of all of that is very important.
Amen. What do you think, Ron?
Well, for our audience sake, Doc, can you give us a layman's definition of inflammatory?
So inflammation exactly involves, that's a great question. It involves a response in our bodies that can be beneficial or it can be adversarial. For example, if we cut our finger, if we break a bone, if we get an upper respiratory infection, or maybe a traumatic event to our body, we have to develop an acute inflammatory response so that we can heal those encumbrances. Those are positive in that our immune system should be healthy enough to respond to that. And if we allow it to respond appropriately, we should heal up without too much, let's say, prodrome or too much of a complication from that. What becomes abnormal is if the inflammation response becomes chronic. That is, we, because of our behaviors, maybe because of some of our genetic influence, we develop a chronic inflammatory response in all of our end organ interstitial spaces. So what this means is you've got a preponderance of free radicals, you have an assortment of immune responses, helper cell responses. And what happens is this chronic inflammatory response basically shuts out the end organ cell from being healthy. The end organ cell loses its unique and favorable relationship with the capillary cell when there's chronic interstitial space inflammation involving the space that it uses with the capillary cell to feed itself, to get oxygen, to get nutrient. And so the more inflamed that space is, the more difficult it is for the end organ cell, regardless of where it is, to function optimally.
So the inflammation in the healing process is good, but inflammation within the cellular structure, because of a number of different things, is what's negative or harmful. That sound right?
When the inflammation becomes chronic and self-perpetuating, it becomes adverse to our bodies and to our end organs.
Okay, so it's a healing process, but then it goes past that and becomes damaging.
Correct.
Okay, all right. Okay. So last time you were on, you mentioned some of the foods and some other activities that kind of that were anti-inflammatory. What are some of the foods again? I want to get that list down. I missed a couple of things.
Well, by the way, it's easy to fail in this area because of everything that we eat has kind of a red flag associated with it. So foods that are generally thought to be healthy are vegetables, particularly cruciferous vegetables, beans, organic chicken or turkey, that's free range, wild caught fish, that's predominantly fatty fish. Some hard cheeses are okay in moderation. Whole nuts, whole mixed nuts are okay, again, in moderation. If you're trying to lose weight, you want to be careful with the volume of foods that have a high fat content. Eggs in moderation are healthy for you. I typically advocate maybe 6 eggs a week or 8 eggs a week in a diet. Grains are also healthy. Now, that's a weighty subject because most of our bread is not whole grain bread. It's refined and highly processed.
Okay. All right.
But there are certain grain foods that are really actually really quite good for you, quite healthy for you.
Right.
So in terms of fluids, there are only a few of them I can recommend. Water, a couple cups of coffee a day, and some tea, preferably green tea or Earl Grey tea, something of that nature. Those are the best types of fluids. Even if you've noticed, I've kept off almost everything that's alcohol. In fact, everything that's alcohol, everything that's cola, everything that's a juice, all of these are essentially adverse to our health.
The juices are? You said the juices are?
Yeah, juices are not good.
Hey! Yeah, you're killing me. so much for the orange juice companies. They lied to us.
Well, just remember this. As we get older, we become increasingly more insulin sensitive.
Yeah,
that is, our blood sugars are biased to increase.
Yes.
And when we, if we consume or eat food that is high in sugar, whether it's in a juice or it's in a candy or a dessert or ice cream or a cookie or pancakes or bread or any of these crackers, we tend to increase our blood sugars. And that tends to increase the risk of chronic inflammation as blood sugars tend to be byproducts of advanced glycation end products, LDL cholesterol, very low density cholesterol and triglycerides. So you right. end up feeding the chronic inflammatory process when you when you drink sugar or when you eat sugar.
Oh. So now I noticed you on your the intro you had a book about dancing and the benefits of dancing, physical activity. How can we combine the physical activity with what type of physical activities can we combine with the dietary changes that for us more older people that would be most beneficial?
So dancing is a dual purpose discussion here. So mm-hmm. in my book, I refer to the capillary cell dance step, which is a pivot and swing of outer membrane permeability and mitochondrial combustion. So as permeability goes in one direction, mitochondrial combustion goes in the other. And when the interstitial space is healthy, when the end organs are functioning optimally, this dance step rhythm is in perfect counterbalance, and it's operationally doing what it's supposed to do in each step optimally. So that's what I refer to as the dance two-step rhythm. And it really is a reflection of outer membrane permeability and mitochondrial combustion. Now, in terms of dancing, dancing is a great exercise. Yeah. It's a great social exercise. Typically, people dance with other people. Right. So it can be construed as something we can do to improve our overall health. It's socially exhilarating. It is an aerobic event. Mm-hmm. And it is also, let's say it can be very, let's say, energetic. And it can also be something that you can be kind of a freestyle with. You don't have to be a perfectionist to do it. You can actually just get out there, start moving around.
Glad you added that part. Good.
Listen, I got to tell you a funny story. I am not a very good dancer. And my current wife, I've been married now 5.5 years. We were in Barcelona, Spain, and it was we were visiting one of these late night I don't know what you call them, nightclubs. And she's quite a bit younger than I am. So we went dancing, and I told her from the get-go, I'm not a very good dancer. And she told me, well, just relax and just move around. Just feel the rhythm, feel the beat. And so like a klutz, I go out there and start moving around. And she just kind of moves with me. And I got to tell you, it was kind of exhilarating, even though I had no idea what I was doing. It was kind of fun. Afterwards, I asked her, well, how did I do with all that? And she said, well, I can say one thing. You've got a lot of energy out there. I think she was just being polite. But the whole idea about dancing is just to get out there and have some fun, enjoy the movement. And if you're a little silly or you look, it's okay. Okay. I mean, no one's grading this.
One more question, and I'll stop hogging. Now, at 69 years old, aerobic activities. What's too much? I've had my doctor tell me I kind of want to stay under 150 beats a minute and not go over that, which my ego gets in the way and think it's kind of wimpy, but.
Well, that's it. You know, that is actually a profound question. So what you're really saying is, as part of an anti-inflammatory rhythm, we should be exercising every day, just like we brush our teeth and comb our hair and have two or three meals. And as a matter of fact, we should be exercising every day.
Okay.
How much is optimal and how much is too much?
Yes.
Well, let's start out with how much is too much. We know that people over the age of 40 who do extensive training for marathons or Ironmans, we know that they actually are hurting in many respects. They're hurting their heart. They're hurting their vascular system, and they end up with more arthritis pain and more chronic inflammatory complications. from excessive amounts of exercise. Okay. And as a matter of fact, the mortality rate of people who do these sorts of events, even though they feel like they're in good shape, is actually quite high. Wow. So we tell patients, particularly over the age of 45 or 50, if they're running a marathon or an Ironman, yeah, this is not actually a healthy exercise for you. Okay. It's excessive. It's just too much.
Okay.
If you're over the age of 40, 45 years of age, your exercise should be much more mindful and compressed. So how much is about right? Well, this then depends upon the intensity level of your exercise. Right. So, and this again will be dependent upon your age and your underlying medical problems. You know, if you have heart disease, lung disease, or you have a lot of arthritis. For some people, just being getting up and moving on a bicycle for 5 or 10 minutes a day is all they can do. Okay. But let's say you're an average person and you're looking to try to improve your health, and you're in between the ages of, say, 40 and 65. In this group, what I would suggest is, if you're overweight, to spend at least 30 minutes a day in aerobic exercise and 15 minutes a day in, let's say, weightlifting or anaerobic exercise. Right. That means 45 minutes a day of exercise every single day. If you're underweight or ideal weight, the ratio should change roughly to 50-50, 20 to 25 minutes of aerobic, 20 to 25 minutes of anaerobic exercise every single day. That exercise should get you to a level where you're perspiring, and your heart rate should be, dependent upon your age, probably anywhere from 105 to 135 beats per minute. And that should be something that should be going on for about 40 minutes a day, 40 to 45 minutes a day.
All right. So the 155 is a bit high, huh?
Yeah, that's considered for a 69-year-old person. If you're getting 150, that is pretty excessive. I can't recommend that level of intensity for. Now, again, if I knew you as a patient, you got on a treadmill, you exercised for 12 to 14 minutes, you got your heart rate up to 155 beats per minute, and you were, you know, you're doing well, no arrhythmias, no chest pain, no shortness, no serious problems with your heart. Right. I would say perhaps exercising to 150 to 155 beats per minute is probably okay. But you're in the upper 1% or 0.1 to 1% of the population. So again, I can't recommend that generally to anybody unless they've undergone some form of exercise testing where I can feel they're safe.
Okay.
But I think the point here is that there is a place where exercise is optimal. There is a place where exercise is too much. Mm-hmm. And there's a place where exercise is suboptimal. Let's talk about the suboptimal. So let's say you're a 40 to 45, 50, 55, 60-year-old person, and your idea of going out and exercising, assuming that you're not disabled, is to go out and walk the dog for 30 minutes. Well, that's a lot of stopping and starting. Right. And, the dog sniffing around, and it's probably not, it's not enough exercise to really call it exercise. It's better than nothing. I mean, you're getting some steps from it, but it's not the kind of intensity that's going to really help you.
Okay. All right.
Hmm.
Wow.
Interesting question right on that one, Ron. That was interesting. When you're walking, Doc, if people are walking like this, as we get older and we try to keep the pace up, like you're saying, and do people as they get older notice that, for example, they don't walk the perfect straight line that they used to, that they get walking after a while, they go a little bit to the left or right, they're a little bit, I don't know what that's called. What's that called, Ryan? You lean a little left, a little right, but you're not dizzy, but you don't stagger. What's a good word, Paul? Mini stagger? I don't know. A little bit in the middle. And all of a sudden you say, why am I doing this? And you don't feel winded, but is that kind of normal? Paul was telling me about him, what he does. No, that's not. No, that's me.
Are you trying to tell me that as you walk the street, you're kind of weaving around?
Well, just here slightly. And there? You're walking fast and you're going along, you feel good, and then slightly you realize, I think I'm going a little left and right instead of straight as an arrow.
Well,
when the car blew the horn, that's when I knew something was wrong.
I'm not exactly sure what that is, but it's possible that the road may be that you're walking on may have a grade to the left or to the right, and maybe you're walking with the grade. I don't know, but to stagger your movement, to stagger the movement as you're walking is. it's a little bit different and a little bit unusual. Okay. I'm not sure that that's the right thing to do unless you are trying to do it. If you're not trying to do it, it's different. Let me put it that way.
You're not drinking before you walk, though.
I know. It's the craziest thing. I mean, I can still walk. I'm not winded, but slight as I am. I got a little more play in the wheel than I did before, you know?
I've seen guys at bar time do that, walk like that. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I did too. That's why I got worried, Ron.
Well, there's two things. First of all, Joe, I don't think I would have admitted that, first of all. And secondly, I think you just need your gyroscope replaced. That'll fix it. Yeah. That's
funny. What? I got to tell you, these recommendations, these are total guy recommendations. I mean, I hear this all the time in my office about how to fix things. And the way guys fix things are really, really different from what women just look at this with perplexion. Whereas guys look at it as this is the answer.
the one thing I thank you for that, because I really have been resisting getting that heart rate down, and he has been on my case though. I really need to kind of back off a little bit. It's mostly my ego, more than likely. Yeah. I'm in a gym with a bunch of young guys. You know, you don't want to kind of show them up.
Well, you guys are bringing up. We're spending quite a bit of time with exercise, and as we should.
Yeah.
It is a very important anti-inflammatory behavior, and it's actually misunderstood. I think the trend in exercise, and I was writing about this as 8 to 9 years ago. I think everyone's kind of following suit now. Right. The trend in exercise is to not baby yourself.
Right.
Okay. If you're going to do exercise, go out there and do it with a certain amount of mindfulness and a certain amount of intensity, and get your heart rate up and try to make it worthwhile. It should be more than just a casual walk somewhere.
Right.
The exercise period should actually be very functional and very viable.
Now, Doug, I should also go back to we covered once before. Are there vitamins or supplements that also are that kind of help with the inflammation, reducing that? I think you mentioned a couple last time. Any more? Well,
let me go through the list. First of all. Vitamin D is a critical vitamin. Your levels should be monitored at least once a year, and they should be within therapeutic range.
Okay.
And most people do not take enough vitamin D, and that should be something that should be supplemented. Now, in connection with vitamin D, we almost everyone as we get older. Our bones start to thin out.
Sure.
And vitamin D alone, even with exercise, doesn't fully protect us from thinning bones. So what I recommend, particularly in women and men over the age of 50, is to supplement vitamin K2 with vitamin D. And that's roughly 100 micrograms a day with the vitamin D, which would be anywhere from 1,000 to 3,000 to 4,000 international units a day, depending upon your level. So those supplements are cornerstone. Then Another supplement which I find very important is magnesium. And magnesium is the mineral that actually carries energy all over the cell. It actually stabilizes it and carries it to wherever it's wherever it's needed. So it becomes a very critical mineral. And levels, again, should be obtained at least once a year or once every other year. And magnesium supplement with, I use glycinate or malate at a dose of about 400 milligrams a day, depending upon your level. But that's a very important mineral. And by the way, it's the only mineral that I recommend taking. Iron is something that women should be concerned about if they're iron deficient. Certainly taking a little iron every day if you're iron deficient would be important, as menstruation tends to make women iron deficient. Now, the most important vitamin that you should take is a B complex. B vitamins are the motor oil to the mitochondria in your cells. In other words, they keep mitochondrial function optimal, both in nitric oxide and energy combustion. Without B vitamins, without a healthy amount and level of B vitamins, mitochondria suffer. So B vitamins are critically important. They actually could be deficient, even though the levels say they're normal. Our body just doesn't seem to utilize them at the same way or level or effectiveness that they did when we were younger. So I tell people, even if your B12 level is normal or you've got a normal thiamine level, take a B complex anyway. It doesn't hurt to take a little bit more. This isn't the kind of vitamin, for example, like vitamin E, where you can get too much, or vitamin A, where you can get too much, or even vitamin D, where you can get too much. B complex, you're not going to get too much. Okay. So I actually take a super B complex every single day. So those are the three cornerstone, three or four cornerstone vitamins and minerals. Now here, if you want to get an A plus, here are the other ones I recommend. If you're trying to protect your vision from macular degeneration, glaucoma, or cataracts, I recommend a supplement with lutein and astaxanthin in it at roughly 20 micrograms to 5 micrograms, of roughly a 4-to-1 ratio of lutein to astaxanthin. And that's a one capsule or tablet a day. And then for a real strong extra credit, I recommend three different herbs. One of them is garlic, and garlic as either in the capsule form or in the chive form, or as a garlic. I'm blocking on the anyway. Garlic is excellent. It actually lowers LDL cholesterol if you use it every day by up to 10 to 15%. So it's a great herb. Clove is what I was trying to think of, garlic clove. Herb would be ginger. And again, you can find ginger in a capsule. It's great for the immune system. It's like the silver lining to our immune system. It augments immune function. It's oftentimes used to prevent or treat or shorten the cold or the flu. So a ginger tablet or ginger tea is an excellent herb to supplement with. And finally, the third herb is turmeric, also known as curcumin. And this is a great herb for musculoskeletal system. It actually reduces pain and inflammation within our musculoskeletal system. So tendons, ligaments, muscles, joints. They all improve or you feel less inflammation or pain or stiffness when you take curcumin or turmeric. So those are the three herbs. And again, these don't have to all be taken every day. They can be taken as needed or maybe once or twice a week. If you're trying to lower your cholesterol or LDL cholesterol, I think the garlic clove or chive should be taken every day. And then those the vitamin D, vitamin K2, magnesium, and B complex are, for most of my patients over the age of, say, 55, these are almost mandatory.
No. Those are on a daily basis as well?
Yes, those are on a daily basis.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Wow, wow. And for the eyes, is it Ludamin? And what was the second one there?
So for the eyes, it's Lutein, L-U-T-E-I-N, and astaxanthin, A-S-T-A-X-A-N-T-H-I-N, astaxanthin.
Right, there you go.
And those are, I got to tell you, they're wonderful to keep the visual clarity intact for a much longer period of time.
Okay.
Just as an example, I see an eye doctor typically once a year. And go through some tests. I was in there a year ago, January, and I was expecting, you know, maybe even some intervention. And after I got done, the ophthalmologist comes in and says, oh, everything looks good. You know, you might need to have a little stronger refractory glass, but certainly nothing serious. I'll see you in 2 years. Well, I was 72 years old, I walk out to the counter and I say I need to have an appointment, and she looks at me and says, "Well, tell me, is that going to be 6 months?" And I said, "No, 2 years." And she looked at me like I was crazy. Well, we don't go out that far. These vitamins and supplements do work. They do slow the aging process, and they give us, in my sense, a little bit of a leg up,
right,
in terms of managing our health.
Okay. All right.
Can I jump in real quick with one thing that Doc said? Doc, I think this was great because it's been like 5 years. I had knee replacement, Ron, back in what, 2010, something like that, and. They started to act up big time, and they wanted to do another surgery. And he said, "You need to take these things right here, especially the turmeric." And I got it going on all this, and they went back, and they're perfectly fine. I didn't have any surgery. They do fine. I can almost walk a straight line. No, but they were really, really good, you know? No problem whatsoever. So it works good, Ron.
You know, this is what makes this show very special. You guys, we can laugh. We can have there's a little bit of sense of humor running around here. This is a great show. It's actually a throwback. It's a little bit kinder and a little bit gentler than what a lot of broadcasting is today. And you guys should be commended on that. It's wonderful.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Doc.
Wonderful guys. Wonderful people here. Yeah. The same thing that really surprised me, seriously, was when I had the tendon tied in my arm. You might know about this. Cliff, my brother, too. Got this tendon there, and it came undone. So what are we going to do with this? So we went in, and so I went to see Doc after. He said, "Well, what did you do?" He said, "The muscles around this arm were, because of what we're taking here and the little bit of exercise program I follow that he gives me, they're just doubling up the size of covering and compensating for the one that is gone, the one tendon that's gone."
Wow.
You know, so I look really dangerous again. So, you know, not really. But so I don't need to. These things really have helped me immensely. So,
yeah.
So, you bring up a really interesting point. When you're living in a an anti-inflammatory rhythm, in other words, where you're doing most of everything in the right way, there's something called a compensatory mechanic that occurs. So that even if you've got a little arthritis in your knee, or the biceps tendon isn't completely healed, or you've got a little lower back pain, what happens is that compensatory mechanics will kick in and the tissues around it will accentuate healing to a place where you can actually override some of those signs and symptoms. And that's one of the things about anti-inflammatory behavior and rhythms and treatments that doesn't get enough credit. It's called compensatory mechanics. Okay. And that's an example of it right there.
That's what I was going to say, Ron. Go ahead.
Okay, on the flip side of that, Doc, so if I am if I'm not doing well with the anti-inflammatory and I'm actually suffering from that, is the reaction or response just the opposite as the compensatory, where I basically feel bad so I don't do anything and I don't do anything and I feel worse, it gets worse. So I seem that seemed to be my observation with people. They feel bad, they don't do anything, and somehow it gets worse. That sounds about right.
So there's two things that I think of when you tell me this. Number one, you have some kind of a chronic inflammatory illness that is overriding at the possibility of anti-inflammatory intervention. So you've got some kind of scar tissue or autoimmune disease or maybe an occult infection somewhere or maybe a cancer that's growing. So that might require a doctor visit and maybe some blood work and maybe a test.
Right.
In the absence of that, I would then go back to what are your underlying rhythms? Is there a lack of hope? Is there despair? Is there frustration with a current situation in your life? Right. Is there emotional exhaustion? In other words, is your life coming unglued in areas that is creating stress? Are you losing a loved one? Did your dog get sick? Are your kids unwell? In other words, there could be some things that are gnawing at you that are creating a barrier towards the anti-inflammatory healing that we're talking about.
Okay. All right. All right.
But yeah, that helps. Well, we're going to take, go ahead, Ron. You have a thought?
Sorry. No. It's good.
Paul, do you have a thought there before I jump on? Go ahead.
No. Please go ahead, Joe.
Oh, okay. Well, I just take a quick break, Doc. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to say something. It looks like I'm going to. Stephanie's not here. So,
that's great. That's,
if you go to our website, which is bbsradio.com/raising expectations, you'll find on there the stories of the team, the things that are happening. They have a special page on there where you can find Doc, find all our guests. You'll find them there in the archives. You can just go right down, check the date, check the name. And you can see here where it is. There's all of our shows over the last 5 years you can follow. And also you'll find about the folks on the team, what they're doing. We have some new things we hope they'll be putting up pretty soon about everybody. But at the same time, on the very top, as TJ goes, and thanks, TJ, we got the greatest engineer back there in Texas. Thanks, my friend. You'll find a donation scan there for Venmo, and you'll find also a donation button for PayPal. And folks, if any of you want to gift the show and make a donation to help us, it takes money to make things work. We're with the best radio TV station you'll find anywhere in the world, BBS Radio, there in Houston Radio TV, and those guys are simply the best. But it costs to do things, and if the Lord ever leads you to help in any way, shape, or form with us, we sure appreciate it. God bless you for helping us stay on the air and bringing interesting things that the Lord can use to empower, strengthen, help, guide, and basically just since we're talking muscles, pump you up. So it's really good that you can get led this way in any way, shape. So we'd be blessed, and we want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for any help you might be able to get. So it's there on the website. So, Doc, we're looking at we've got 3 minutes. Can you give us 2 minutes? Unless Ron's got a question, can you give us 2 minutes to wrap up what you would say to people from overall tonight? And then, Ron, we'll close it out.
This has been an excellent discussion tonight. I really appreciate it. And by the way, the next time you have me on, I want to talk a little bit about the nuances of excellent sleep and what that means and how important it is to an anti-inflammatory rhythm, because there's a lot to the sleep mechanic that a lot of people are missing. But what I really feel I have to mention here is that sleep, of course, sleep hygiene is important. Sleep discipline is important. Getting to bed at 10 p.m. and getting up at 5 to 6 a.m. is important. Diet and dietary discretion is important, as we mentioned before. And, of course, exercising to your level of capacity for at least 40 to 45 minutes a day is also very, very important. Now, some things we did not mention tonight, which are also important. Finding your physical and mental compass is important. And this oftentimes means finding your spiritual connection or reconnection, finding your relationship with your wife, your family, with God. That needs to be energized and reassessed and reset. If you're going to find anti-inflammatory rhythms, you have to find a sense of social comfort as well. You know, there's a lot of people that are living alone, and there are other people who seem to have a lot of people around them all the time. Just because you're living alone doesn't mean that that's bad. And just because you have a lot of people around you, that doesn't necessarily mean it's good. There has to be a sense of social comfort. You have to feel content in the situation you're in. And if you're not content in that situation, there has to be a plan B in order to find maybe some better balance. Finally, the last thing I want to mention is joyfulness and gratitude. It's very important in our daily lives, if we're finding anti-inflammatory expression, that we find joy and gratitude in our lives, even when things are difficult, even when we are not necessarily in a good place. If we are seeking God's presence and God's will, we should be finding joy in the little things in life, and we should be finding gratitude in what our life is bringing forth.
Amen. You said it, Doc. You nailed it. Hit the hammer on the head. Hey, we got like a minute and a half, Ron. Could you give us a minute prayer for Doc? Just ask God to bless him. I appreciate that.
Yes, Lord, thank you again for our brother and for your great work and grace in his life, to Lord, the instrument you've made him out to be. We pray that you would continue to bless him, to use him, Lord, and the impact and help other folks, Lord, impact lives, both physically, mentally, but most of all, for your kingdom. Thank you again for his graciousness and his, Lord, his willingness to share and to be a part of this few moments we have. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Ron.
I'll let you know, it's hard for a Baptist preacher to do that, so I'll let you know that.
That's the record. Thanks, Doc. It's always a blessing to have you with us. And so, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in tonight. We appreciate you. And write those notes down. There's some good things. We'll get Doc back with us again when we can, and we'll find out the rest of what he's going to be sharing with us this way. God bless you and keep you, meet you at the deepest points of your needs, find that balance and lead you right to it, and help you be balanced when you jog. It's going to be great. So just trust him and keep going from there. And we'll see you at the same time next week, Lord willing. We'll see you then. Have a blessed rest of your week. Until then, bye-bye for now.
Thank you, Doc.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.